Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychius, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Paul closes his inspired letter to Titus with some important admonitions that are essential to the well-being of any church. He once again emphasizes the absolute necessity and the profitability of constantly maintaining good works. And that is a theme throughout the entire letter. He then cautions Titus not to get caught up or sidetracked concerning things of little importance. He also explains the manner in which heretics are to be handled and dealt with, and then he closes with some personal instructions as well as his usual benediction of grace upon the saints of God. Tonight we're going to consider the admonitions in verse 8 and 15, and the title of this message, Be Careful to Maintain Good Works. We'll read the verse again in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now verse 8 begins with a reference back to what had been written in verses 4 through 7. And I'm not going to go back over all of that. We're not going to read it. But those verses affirm the truths of sovereign grace, especially regarding the unconditional love of God, the freeness of salvation, the necessity of regeneration, justification by grace through faith, the believer's unalterable position of eternal life, and the hope of the eternal inheritance that has been secured for him. He says, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly. We as believers in New Testament Baptist churches must be continually affirming these truths regarding the Lord's salvation, the Lord's church, the things of God. We need to maintain these things. It is absolutely essential that we be strong both doctrinally and practically. And I think that Paul is instructing Titus along those lines. Now, the entire machinery of salvation, from beginning to end, is connected to the free grace of God, and this forms a faithful saying that is to be affirmed, preached, contended for constantly. That's not to say that I don't believe that a preacher should constantly be preaching on the doctrines of grace. I mean, there has to be a balance. You have to provide a diet. It's one of the reasons why I like going through books of the Bible. Because what it does is it forces you to preach every verse that that's under consideration, even verses that you may not normally consider. But that's not all there is. There's practical Christian living. There is the doctrine of the Lord's return, the doctrine of the Lord's New Testament church, practical, holy living, sanctification. All these things have to be constantly affirmed and presented to the saints of God for their edification, for their growth, for building up in the most holy faith. The reason why these truths are to be proclaimed constantly, and I cannot emphasize this enough, it's because of the heresy of work salvation that has proved to be a constant enemy to true Christianity. Every major false religion builds their entire premise for existing on the idea that man can somehow save himself or keep himself saved by doing certain religious exercises. It's one of the things that has caused so much persecution of true Baptists through the ages. So we must continually emphasize the truth of grace, the truth of the gospel, because in every century, false teachers have arisen seeking to pervert the gospel of Christ and the teachings of free and sovereign grace. Man-made systems of salvation have been formulated, teaching that man is somehow made acceptable to God on the basis of his own merit and works, and true preachers and true believers must constantly combat those errors by earnestly contending for the faith once delivered. Now, I know I harp on this. I know this is something that you hear from me a lot, and I'll tell you why. Because this is something I don't believe you can be wrong on. You cannot be wrong on the gospel. You can't be wrong on how God saves a sinner, the power of God in the new birth, the gracing of that sinner once he's brought to life with repentance and faith. All these truths are essential, and that Christ and Christ alone is the only way a man can be saved. Every false religion denies that. They may pay lip service to certain parts of it, but they deny it because they believe that man can somehow save himself, make himself acceptable. We have to continually fight against that. Now, not only must the doctrines of grace be constantly taught and affirmed, and this is something I fear that many Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists could learn to balance their life, their ministry, their church. Because I think a lot of Baptists will say, yeah, I believe the doctrines of grace with everything I got, but how about this saying that we have to affirm constantly that it's good and it's profitable to maintain good works? I believe good works are necessary. Not in order to be saved, but they are necessary to prove that you are saved, that you have been transformed, that your life has been changed, that you've been born of the Spirit, that you're washed in the blood, that you're bought with a price. Your life must demonstrate that. A gracious life evidenced by good works must be carefully maintained. Now, an individual may crow about the doctrines of grace with all his might, but if his life is not filled with grace and good works, he'll do more harm than good. Say, you believe in the doctrines of grace? Why aren't you gracious? You say you love the Lord. Why do you act the way you do? I think perhaps the greatest hindrance to Christianity is the testimony of those who say that they're saved by grace, whose immoral lifestyle betrays and contradicts their profession of faith. It's not enough to believe right doctrines. You can pay intellectual assent and agree with a lot of truths that are found in the Word of God, but you need to live a godly life. You need to live a holy life, a life that's set apart, that's sanctified unto God. A true follower of Christ must live right if his testimony is to be acceptable and fruitful in the sight of God and of men. Believers who have truly been changed by the power of God's grace will inevitably endeavor to walk in the path of good works and follow the example of Jesus Christ. What's the Bible say about Jesus Christ? He went about doing good. The Bible says that in his mouth there was no guile. He had no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. These are all depictions, descriptions of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're saved by his grace and we're called to resemble him, then good works have to be in there. His entire life was a demonstration of good works, of holy living. Now, the difference between him and us, he had to live a perfect life in order to secure our salvation. We will never aspire to that. We're never going to live a perfect life, but we ought to desire to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that mark is the mark of what God told Peter: be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart. Love what I love. Cherish what I love. And live right, do right, act right, talk right, dress right. You name it. He calls us to righteous living. I said righteous living, not self-righteous living. If you've been changed, you're going to want to live like you've been changed. You're going to demonstrate that. And it's a principle truth that's constantly emphasized in the Word of God. I quote this verse a lot. Let's read it together. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody knows Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, those are Baptist verses. But so is verse 10. It's just as important. Look what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are good works? Well, I think if you want to synthesize the statement, it would be follow the example in the life of Christ. His entire life was one of good works. It included humility, love, grace, kindness, truth-seeking, truth-speaking. It included a desire, compassion, a desire to help and bless others. It involved sacrifice and giving of himself. All of those things are good works. Going to church, that's a good work that benefits you. It's being in obedience, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. It is a good work to be faithful to God's house, to receive instruction from the Word of God that can change you. Prayer. Prayer is work. It's a good work to go to God and earnestly pour out your heart, confessing your sins, adoring Him in worship, offering up your supplication, just being still before Him and sensing that He is God, experiencing the power and the presence of the Almighty. That is a good work. Witnessing. Preach the gospel to every creature. Who is that? Everybody. Everywhere. We're responsible to share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with sinners. That is a good work. In fact, I would contend it is one of the most important works of a New Testament missionary Baptist church. To go out into the world and share the gospel through every lawful means. Baptizing believers, that's a good work that a church does. Those who have professed faith in Christ and given a credible profession of faith, they are to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. We baptize them and then teach them to observe all things. These are all good works that you and I have to be careful to maintain. Training our children. Train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train them in the way that they should go, that they would not depart from it. All these things are good works. How you treat your wife. Wives, how you submit to your husband. Love and submission, these are good works. These are truths found in the Word of God that you and I must affirm and constantly maintain. You see, one of the reasons why Christianity has received such a blemish is because a lot of people who say they're saved are discrediting the profession of faith. I mean, they may pay some lip service and go to church one service a week, but the rest of their life you would never know that they're saved. That's hypocrisy. See, Christianity, it has to be your life. It has to be what you're about. Your service to the Lord, your surrender to His commands, your obedience to what His will is. These are good works that we must affirm constantly. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What a broad statement that is. Pleasing, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I wonder, are we walking worthy of the Lord? 1 John 1, verse 3, verse 4 and verse 6. Again, these are very simple, direct commands. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Again, the essence of good works, walking in the footsteps, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the scriptures I just quoted prove the necessity of maintaining a life marked by good works. and obedience to the commands of Christ flowing from a heart that has been changed by the grace of God. Those who deny the importance of good works in the Christian life through false teaching or an immoral lifestyle are to be regarded as enemies of true Christianity, because they are. Now, antinomians must hate the epistle of Titus. This idea that we have no responsibility to obey God's commands and, dare I say, His laws. There's nothing wrong with God's law. The law is holy, just, and good. Now, it can't save you. It'll never save you. But blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Jesus walked in the law of the Lord. We ought to love what He loves. If you're regenerate, if you're born of the Spirit, Paul, and you have a new nature, Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So good works are necessary to a credible profession of the Christian faith. Go back to Titus, and we'll read verse 15. Verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. When you put these two verses together, verse 8 and verse 14, they clearly state that these truths are good. Well, I'm having trouble tonight. They're good, profitable, necessary, and fruitful because they are used by God to show forth a testimony of righteousness and holiness before men. I mean, I want you to consider your life. Do you have a credible profession of faith? Do people know that you've been changed by the power of God? Do they know that by your attitude, by your way of life, your conversation, what you love, what you hate? Good works are good in the sense that they commend the grace of God to others. Think about that. It's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works, our life dedicated to God, commends the grace of God to lost people, and it hopefully glorifies His name. Not us. So if what you're doing, if how you're living is to gain the praise of men, you're defeating your whole purpose. Good works are to bring glory to God. And they are profitable in the sense that they show forth the power of a changed life to an unbelieving and a skeptical world. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life that I think the world is more skeptical in my brief lifetime about Christianity and the Word of God, perhaps than any time in my recent history. I know I only go back 58 years, but I can remember when I was first saved, there were lots of people who, they may not have been saved, but they had some respect for the Christian life, the Christian profession, the truth of the Word of God. We're losing that in our society. It's gone. So we need to live right and do right. They're fruitful in the sense, good works are, that they're produced and cultivated by the Spirit of God And they give evidence to others that the grace of God is currently operating within our hearts, prompting us to love and obey Him. Above all, good works are to be considered good, profitable, necessary, and fruitful because they glorify God, just as Jesus taught. John 15, verses 8 through 10, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Be careful to maintain good works. Say, "But preacher, if we really believe this and we teach it and we live it, people are going to say we're legalists." You know what? People are going to say something about everything. A legalist is somebody who actually believes you're saved by good works. We're not legalists. We're biblicists. We believe what the Word of God teaches. And we believe that we have a responsibility to walk in His ways and to obey Him and to love Him and to honor Him and to reverence Him. And our lives ought to demonstrate that. That is not legalism. That's a heart set upon God. So be careful to maintain good works this week in your everyday life, in your home, in your workplace, in the Lord's church, wherever you are. Be careful to maintain good works because it's necessary, it's profitable, and it's fruitful. Let's all stand. Sing a hymn.
What page? Number 10.